and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 7, beginning with the 15th verse. This is our Gospel for today, this second Sunday after Pentecost. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, some people are members of a single congregation their entire lives. Others may transfer to a sister congregation when they move. Others seem to jump from church to church as often as the seasons change. And there's still others who never really join a congregation. They're always in search of that perfect place. There are many different things that people look for in a church home. And in everyone's top five of most important things to look for might vary somewhat. But what does the Lord say about the matter? What does the Lord say about what is important when it comes to our church home? Well, today, the Lord gives us a Christian's guide for a church home. First off, he warns us to avoid false teachers. And secondly, he tells us to set him and his word as our foundation. The two verses preceding our text for today are some of the most well-known verses of all of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. There's only one way to eternal life. And that way is through Jesus Christ alone. The way, the truth, and the life. And if there's only one way to eternal life, then there's many ways that lead to eternal destruction. In fact, every way that does not lead to Christ is that broad path that leads to eternal damnation. And talking about this narrow path and this wide path led Jesus into the warning he gives to begin our text. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. The word prophet here doesn't just refer to someone who predicts the future. No, this Greek word for prophet it just pretty much means to proclaim. So this is talking about those who proclaim or speak God's word. So we can rightly call false prophets false teachers. Anyone who preaches or teaches anything contrary to God's word is to be considered a false prophet or a false teacher. And Jesus warns us to watch out for false teachers. After all, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. So it's maybe hard to notice these false teachers. No one is going to willingly follow the devil, so he must disguise himself. He must lie and deceive us, just like he did to Adam and Eve. He brings up teachers who claim to be teachers of the word, who claim to be teaching from God, but they are wolves in sheep's clothing. And they do it secretly. After all, no one is going to openly say, what I'm about to teach you is against God's word. No, he does it secretly. He disguises his teaching and will claim that it comes from God or agrees with the Bible, it comes from some special revelation from God. But they're secretly introducing destructive heresies. Now, some false teachers knowingly teach against God's word. But secretly, they disguise it well. They'll come up with some elaborate explanation which allows them to teach what they do. What they're doing is they're scratching itching ears. They say what people want them to say, pleasing the sinful nature, telling others what they want to hear so others may be pleased with them and their message. They're not really concerned about God. They're more concerned about their reputation, about making a name for themselves. They're not concerned about preaching God's word and its truth and purity. They're in it for the money, for their own financial gain. And then there's others who are actually sincere. They sincerely intend to teach God's word truly. And they just have it wrong. Maybe they were taught it wrong when they grew up or at the seminary. Maybe they didn't do their due diligence in studying a particular point. But they sincerely do intend to teach God's word truly. Now, there are many different degrees and varieties of false teachers. But whether they intend to or not, whether they are sincere or not, they all have one thing in common. Their final result is that their teaching doesn't build up and save, but their teaching destroys. Their preaching doesn't show Christ and lead to the narrow way that enters through that narrow gate. It leads away from Christ onto that broad path that leads to destruction. So it doesn't matter who that pastor is. It doesn't matter who that teacher is. It doesn't matter how well a speaker he is or how cool he is or how charitable him or his congregation might be. All of that is of little value if the teaching doesn't correspond to God's word. And that's why false prophets and false teachers are so dangerous. They may look good on the outside, but inside they are ferocious wolves. They may look good, but they are leading many astray from Christ and His word. Their false teachings may lead to eternal death. So we watch out for them. And how do we do that? How can we tell a false teacher? Well, Jesus says, by their fruit you will recognize them. Now, fruit here doesn't refer to their outward deeds. Remember, they're wolves in sheep's clothing, so their outward deeds probably look pretty good. Talk about the fruit of a prophet. We're talking about his word, what he says. By what someone says, you can recognize them as a false or a true teacher of the word. And anyone who teaches anything contrary to God's word in any way, no matter how small or insignificant it may seem, is to be labeled as a false teacher. For instance, someone who might deny creation in favor of evolution is to be labeled as a false teacher. Or those who deny that Adam and Eve were true people who really sinned, and from them we have inherited our sinful nature, which makes us completely dead. Those who deny that are false teachers. The same stands for those who deny the reality of the miracles, or that there are three persons and one God, the triune God, or that Jesus is God and man at the same time, or that Jesus really did suffer and die for our sins, that he rose again from the dead with a physical bodily resurrection. We can go on and on. Anyone who denies any part of God's word is a false teacher. Anyone who adds or subtracts or changes God's word in any way is a false teacher. And what do we do when we recognize someone as a false teacher? Well, as Paul warns the Romans in chapter 16, tells us to keep away from them. Or as he tells Titus, have nothing to do with them. So God warns us to watch out for false teachers. And we can recognize them by their fruit. So what does that mean for us? It means that we have to be in the Word. It means that we have to know God's Word. Know God's Word well enough not just to recognize what is right, but be also to able to recognize what is wrong and to be able to see from Scripture on why it is wrong. In order to do that, we must read the Word on our own. It's good to study in Bible class to hear the insights of others. So it's also good not to take someone's word for it, including mine, including another pastor or professor or author. Don't take their word for granted as truth, but test everything, as Paul warns the Thessalonians. Be like the Bereans, who didn't even take Paul's word for it. As we read in Acts 17, the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. The best way to watch out for false teachers is to match up with what they say to what God's word says. And be proactive. Study God's word so that when you hear something, you be able to recognize it as true or false. In the Christian's Guide for a Church Home, the Lord tells us that we should watch out and avoid those who teach things contrary to his word. He tells us what not to do, but what does he tell us to do? Well, in order to answer that question, he gives us a short and simple analogy about building a house. The foundation of a house is one of the most important aspects of a house, because if that foundation isn't firm, that foundation crumbles, then the rest of the house is going to fall. When you build a house, you're going to want to build it on something solid that doesn't move, like a rock. If you build a foundation on sand, that foundation is going to fall, then crumble. The sand shifts, it gets washed away by the rain. The whole house falls. In this parable, the house is a Christian. The foundation is what that person believes in. We believe in something shifting, something that changes. The waters of this world wash away the foundation. The house crumbles. It will not be able to stand up to the torrent of that last judgment on that final day and dies eternally. But if its foundation is a solid rock, unmovable, that doesn't change, it will be able to stand the waters of this world. It will be able to stand the torrent that comes on the last judgment. Those who have a rock solid foundation then will live forever. And we see that Christ is the foundation. He is the foundation, the chief cornerstone of that foundation. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul calls Jesus a foundation. He says, no one can lay any foundation other than what has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if Jesus is our foundation, then so is his word. For it is his word that we learn everything about him. It is his word that we see what he has done for us. And it is his word that brings us to faith. So your foundation of your faith is Christ and his word. And that is to be the foundation of any church home of which you choose. But sadly, that's not the foundation for many members in many churches. The foundation of their faith is what the world thinks, or what science says. Their foundation is their own feelings and emotions. It's their own thoughts or opinions about a particular point of doctrine or a particular thing in the world today. Or perhaps the foundation of their church membership, the basis of their membership in a congregation, is its location. Or the people that belong to it, or family members. Some people belong to a building. Other people belong to an outward organization, whether it's a congregation, or a synod, or a denomination. Others belong because they like the pastor, or like the programs that the congregation has, because they have uplifting worship, because they like the way it makes them feel, because church is fun. Some people belong because the congregation is charitable. They seem to do good work with others in the community and help the poor and needy. That's not saying that some of these things are not important. Some are, but each in their own place and time. But all these things are not what is truly important. They're not the foundation of our faith, and they're not the reason to join a congregation or not. For all these things change. If you're building your foundation on shifting sand, buildings fall and are rebuilt. Personal feelings, opinions, thoughts change. So does the world's. Their viewpoints change from generation to generation, from culture to culture. What science says is true changes year after year. But synods and churches and denominations change. They sadly change from time to time. They're all shifting sands. Relying on those things might cause the house to crumble. There is only one unmovable rock. There is only one solid, firm foundation. That is Christ and His Word. And on Him, we've set our foundation. On Him, we choose a church that has Him as our foundation. Remember what Paul said in verse, what Jesus said in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Scary, isn't it? At least it should be. Those who do God's will be in heaven. There's one major problem with that. We can't do God's will. We constantly sin against His will all the time. We cannot possibly obey Him. But Christ has. He kept God's will perfectly, always obeying the will of the Father. And He gave that obedience to us when He suffered and died on the cross, paying for our sins. And it is through faith in Him that we receive everything that He has won for us. It is through faith in His work alone that we will enter the kingdom of heaven. And since Christ has done that for us, He is our foundation. And notice how that contrasts the false teachers that Jesus was talking about. No, they prophesied in the name of the Lord. They called on the name of the Lord. They performed miracles and cast out demons in the name of the Lord. And God had maybe even given him the abilities to do so. But notice what they said to God on the last day. God, I did all these things. I did this, I did that in your name. They kept on bringing up their works, what they had accomplished. They didn't see themselves as poor, miserable sinners who were helpless to save themselves. They didn't trust in Christ alone for the forgiveness of their sins and eternal life. They pointed first to what they had done, to their own works. Their foundation wasn't Christ. Their foundation was themselves and their own opinion of themselves. Get away from me. I never knew you. Jesus told them. Christ and His work is our foundation. Not ourselves, not our gifts and abilities, not our thoughts and opinions, but God's thoughts and opinion. Since it is His Word alone that we learn about Christ, since it is Word alone that we are brought to faith, His Word that tells us about baptism, His Word that shows us the grace God gives to us in Holy Communion, it is His Word that is the foundation of our faith and the foundation that should be of our church home. It is a rock solid foundation. For like Christ, His Word never changes. That is what we look for in a church home. One who sets its foundation on Christ and emphasizes Christ. One that sets its foundation on Christ's word alone, not on the thoughts and feelings of the world, not on what science says, not on what society tells us is right or wrong, not on what the church fathers from long ago have decided. Jesus Christ, His Word, is your foundation. And Jesus Christ and His Word should be the foundation of your church. Oh. And when it is, you can rest assured that you will stand firm to the end, and so will the church. Maybe you're looking for a church home. Maybe you're not. But whether you are or you're not, don't forget what is truly important. Don't belong to a building, a congregation, a synod, a denomination. Don't care so much about the pastor's likability, the funness of the services, the friendliness of the people, how charitable they are. In the end, all those things don't matter. What matters is Christ. That's the foundation. What matters is a true word of God speaking in His truth and purity in all points. You find it? Clings to it. Hold to what is right and true. For then you're being led to Christ. The narrow way that leads to the narrow gate of eternal life. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.